All government, in its essence, is a conspiracy against the superior man. Its one permanent object is to oppress him and cripple him. If it be aristocratic in organization, then it seeks to protect the man who is superior only in law against the man who is superior in fact. If it be democratic, then it seeks to protect the man who is inferior in every way against both. One of its primary functions is to regiment men by force, to make them as much alike as possible and as dependent upon one another as possible, to search out and combat originality among them. All it can see in an original idea is potential change, and hence an invasion of its prerogatives. The most dangerous man to any government is the man who is able to think things out for himself, without regard to the prevailing superstitions and taboos. Almost inevitably, he comes to the conclusion that the government he lives under is dishonest, insane, and intolerable. And so, if he is a romantic, he tries to change it. And even if he is not romantic personally, he is very apt to spread discontent amongst those who are. And that was said by Henry Louis Mencken. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. Well, it's nice to be back here, folks. I had last week off due to illness, and I'm feeling a lot better now. Still not 100%, but definitely much better than what I was last week. And so it's good to be back, and I thank you very much for your patience. And thank you also to the many people who wrote to me and delivered their best wishes and kind words to me. It was very gratifying to hear from so many people. Now, in looking at the situation in the world today, one of the biggest threats we face as a species, really, is our own complacency. And it isn't that all of the world is complacent. It isn't that many of the people who are aware of the difficulties of our world and the many problems we face are complacent. But very often it's due to the belief that these people have in their own inadequacies. People truly believe that they are not capable of bringing about any real change because they believe they are just a little person and that there is very little that one person can do against such a big machine. There's very little that one person can do against the enormous problems that we face, but such is not always the case. In fact, the opposite is very much the case, because when you look at the world and when you look at the history of the world, what you find is that all of the changes that have ever been brought about in the history of the world have ultimately been brought about due to the actions of one single person who decided to act. Every idea, folks, no matter how big it was, every revolution, no matter how many people were involved, was ultimately started through the motivation and action of one person at the very beginning. So the concept that a single individual is not capable of bringing about any real change is erroneous from the very beginning, folks. Because, as I said, the real truth is that all change that's ever been brought about on this planet has been brought about due to the actions of a single individual. You just have to be prepared to act. And there is certainly a lot of things going on in the world today which can be used as motivation for action, my friends. There is certainly a lot of issues that we have to attend to. And that's the thing, folks, we have to attend to these issues. And I've been coming on here and talking to you for 6 years now, showing you what these issues are and mentioning these problems and pointing out the fact that there's nothing we can really do within the parameters that have been given to us by government. We've been trying these remedies for years and years, and we never get anywhere. And it's got to the point now where we really have to step above it all, because The planet's being destroyed, our lives are being destroyed, the overall health of the species is deteriorating rapidly, and yet in the face of all of this, we still believe that we are restrained by what we can do to combat this situation simply due to rules that have been written on pieces of paper by politicians. And it's gotten to the point that it's getting ridiculous, folks. I mean, where is your line in the sand? What's it going to take for people to realize that you can't allow yourself to be killed simply because someone wrote a rule down on a piece of paper that says, no, you're not allowed to step out of the path of the oncoming train, because if you do, you will have broken the law. I mean, that's virtually what it is, folks. We've got an oncoming train in the form of government criminality and all of the problems that these governments are creating in the world, and we're not stepping out of the way of this oncoming train because we believe we're constrained by what we are able to do because someone wrote down some rules on a piece of paper. And so, because of that, we're simply allowing the world to be destroyed around us. And I would suggest, folks, that if people really step back and look at this, they will find that this is not the act of a sane mind. That there comes a time in life, folks, when we simply have to start taking responsibility for things. And having had a bit of a look around me and had a glance at the overall state of this planet, I would suggest that that time may well be now, my friends. And look, things really are deteriorating rapidly, folks. I mean, look at the situation in Syria at the moment. The recent spate of chemical attacks. And folks, we all know that these chemical attacks were carried out by the Al-Qaeda US-backed rebels. The chemical attacks are a direct result of the US supplying arms to the rebels and supplying money to the rebels. And yet, the United States government is blaming the Syrian government for the chemical attacks and using it as an excuse for military intervention into Syria. This is, of course, what the United States has wanted to do for so long. And this is, of course, the only possible result that would come from the use of chemical weapons in Syria. And so it's easy to see who staged the chemical attacks, folks. I mean, cui bono? Who benefits? It's always the question that you need to ask. And the only one who benefits from the use of chemical weapons in Syria is the United States, because it gives them the excuse they've been looking for to move into Syria. And it's all about destabilization of the Middle East. It's all about control. It's about control of global resources. It's about keeping the dollar as the global reserve currency. And it's all theater, folks, at the cost of thousands upon thousands and potentially millions of human lives. Here we have it, folks, another country being thrown down the gurgler, another group of innocent people being subject to the ferocity of a US-backed destabilization and invasion of their country. Again, folks, we've got Afghanistan, we've got Iraq, we've got Libya, and now we've got Syria. And it's just going to keep going until the people of the planet decide to do something about it. So everybody, folks, everybody out there in every Western country, start questioning the actions of your government. Start questioning their authority on every single occasion that you can. Any bill you get from the council, any directive you're given by a police officer, anything your government asks you to do, any tax they ask you to pay, question the authority of these people. Ask them to show who the hell they are, because all they are, folks, are public trustees. They're ripping you off, they're stealing from you, and they're sending your country and this world down the gurgler as fast as they can. And it's about time people paid attention. It's about time we started cutting off the lifeblood to this corrupt corporate system, folks, because the lifeblood that this corrupt corporate system gets is the energy that we give it through our belief that the system is real. But it's not real. It's just a meme. It's just an idea. It's just a concept of how the world should run. But the world should not be run this way, folks. The world should be run in a way that serves the people. And we're not going to see that from governments. And again, folks, it just comes down to the question of where is your line in the sand? How much are you prepared to take from these people? Because personally, I'm not prepared to take any more. I'm really not. I'm not prepared to take a backward step to these people, and I'd like to see the rest of the world stand up and claim their freedom as well. But as I keep saying, you're not going to get that until you've got a reasonable amount of the people standing with you. You need the power of community, and you're not going to get that until you start respecting people. You start respecting your neighbours, and I really believe that you won't do that until you truly begin to understand who and what you are. Because when you do, then you begin to respect yourself. And that's when respect for others really comes. You know, a lot of people just don't respect themselves. They may, in some superficial way that they've been trained to by the system, but they don't truly respect themselves because they don't truly understand themselves. There's very little about our society or about our education system or about Western culture at all that teaches people about themselves. And that's, I believe, one of the big problems that we face. As I was mentioning near the start of the show, it's people's belief in their own inadequacies and the complacency that comes with that. Even with the problems that we see in the world, a lot of people see them there, but they're very complacent. They just don't think it's actually going to come and affect them personally. They don't realize that it is now. It's affecting everybody personally right at this very minute. People just don't realize where the many problems in their lives come from. People never think about why they have to run so fast on the treadmill in order to make ends meet. They just don't even see that the treadmill's there. They just think this is the way life is. But it isn't. It's just a concept. It's just an idea. It's just a meme. Life could be very, very different to what it is. And all of the wars that we're seeing, folks, and this flexing of military muscle that we're seeing by the United States and Israel, and of course all very much directed at creating conflict with Iran, that's another byproduct of what's going on in Syria, is it will bring about a conflict with Iran, because of course Iran is going to step in to protect Syria. You see, Iran hasn't been coming to the party, folks. America and Israel have been baiting Iran and attempting to provoke Iran into war for quite a long time now. But Iran has been maintaining a peaceful stance because Iran does not want war. It's not interested in going to war with anyone. And because it's just not coming to the party, that is another reason why they have been pushing so hard through Libya and Syria. Because that way they can provoke the Arab world without openly dropping bombs on Iran. They can provoke Iran into a response and then they can scream victim the way they always do. This is what the United States and Israel traditionally have done, folks. They push countries into conflict and then they scream victim. And all of these wars, folks, the goal of all of them is a consolidation of corporate power and a further expansion of what is essentially the corporate Vatican system. And it's important to understand that, folks, that what we're facing here is corporatism. That's really what the New World Order is, and corporatism is a direct result of the Vatican system. It's the Vatican that created the Sesta KV trusts. It's the Vatican that created this whole climate of rampant corporatism across the globe. It's the Vatican that put in place the first World Bank, really. I mean, banking, I believe, is a result of the Knights Templars, but ultimately banking today is controlled by the Vatican. Sure, there are banking cartels and banking families that operate outside of the Vatican, but the whole system itself is all part of the same corporate mechanism. So it's important to see where this comes from and what the higher agenda is. You know, when you really look at the global situation, folks, you've got to step back and look at it from a corporate perspective. Because commerce is what makes the world go around today. Commerce is the lifeblood of this planet. Business is what type of interactions countries have with one another. It's all based on business, folks. It's all based in commerce. So that's the way you need to look at the world. And when you step back and you can really see it that way, then you can see how things are played out and you can see the direction things are going. And if you could really look at it deeply and hard enough, you can also then see where the remedy is, because all of the commerce and all of the corporate system that's in place, what keeps it flowing? What keeps it operating? what is its food? I mean, the cash flow and the system of commerce is the lifeblood of the system itself, but what is the lifeblood of the lifeblood? What is the energy that this food gets? Where does it come from? Well, folks, it comes from people who believe the system is real. The energy that feeds the lifeblood of the system is the energy that we give to the system through our participation in it. And we do this because we place the system and its needs, its wants and desires, above our needs and wants and desires. It's like it's affected our minds, like a parasite, and it causes us to crave the food that it needs in order to survive. And so we tend to view every aspect of our lives from a commercial perspective. Time is money. You want me to come and help you? How much are you going to pay me? You want me to do something for you? How much are you going to pay me? Everything that I do has a commercial value attached to it. And that's the way we tend to view things. That's the way we tend to view our relationships. That's the way we tend to view our lives. Time is money. My life is about commerce. My life is about the bottom line. And the success of my life is measured by how many digits I'm able to accumulate. And you see, this is the problem, folks. The problem is that we feed the system by our willingness to comply to the system and our willingness to reduce our lives to commerce, to view ourselves from a commercial perspective. I mean, why would you view yourself as being something that could be valued by money? Why do we view everything as having an economic value? How can you look at the damage an oil spill does to a coral reef and say, well, this is $2 billion worth of damage? It's a coral reef, for God's sake. How can you put a dollar value on that? Dollars are just digits. It's just pieces of paper with pictures on it. It doesn't mean anything. This is a coral reef. This is alive. This is one of God's creations. You can't put a commercial value on it. And people who believe they can, I believe, are insane, because you cannot put a commercial value on life. That's just not what life is about. But unfortunately, as a society, we've been trained to believe that that is what life is about, and that is one of the biggest hurdles that we have yet to overcome. And that's what I've been trying to do with this show, folks. That's what I've been trying to do with the website. That's why there's nothing for sale on the Crow House. And there'll never be anything for sale. All the films I make, I do for free. The book I wrote, I put there for free. I'm in the process of editing that, folks, and getting some of the typos out, because there's hundreds of them in there. I never did have it proofread or anything. I just put it up there. I never thought anyone would read it. But it would appear that many people have. So I'm in the process of fixing that and putting it back up there. But the reason I've got everything on the Crow House for free, and there's never going to be anything that you have to buy from the Crow House, is because I want people to see the value of removing commerce from their lives. I'd like people to understand the power of giving, because giving is the most powerful thing you can ever do. It really is, and that's why I have given of myself so freely with the website and with everything that I've done, because I believe that it's important. And I think that if people were to give and spend their life in a state of giving, then things would change very much. All you have to do is give a little bit more than what you receive. And imagine if everybody did that, folks, the whole world would change. And I don't give because I even want anything in return. I give simply because it's the right thing to do. And that's what makes it so rewarding. Because it's when you expect to be rewarded from your giving that you're not really giving, are you? You're giving to yourself. You're giving because you're expecting a reward. So really, you're giving for self-gain. So your giving is motivated by selfish reasons. I don't do that. I give because I like to give. I give because I believe it is the right thing to do. I give because I believe that if all the world gave to those around them, then all of the problems that we face as a species would suddenly disappear. And that's why I do what I do. And that's why the Crow House will always remain a free website, and there will never be commerce attached to the Crow House in any way. You're never going to go there and find something to buy, my friends. You're only ever going to find another gift. In fact, I think giving is one of the most fundamentally overlooked things in the world today, folks. I really do. I think that people underestimate the power of giving. Because imagine how good you feel when someone gives you something. And we all have stuff that we don't really need, that we don't really use. Stuff that we may have used once that we probably don't use now, that somebody else could probably have an enormous amount of joy from. We might have something that is our favorite possession that brought us years of joy, but we just don't use it anymore. But imagine how good it made you feel when you first got that possession. You could now give that possession to somebody else, and they could in turn experience all the joy that you experienced from that object. And so through your action of giving, you could not only pass your joy on to that new person, but also give that object a new life again, a life that it had before. And if we all gave a little bit more than we received, then the entire world would be in a state of abundance by default. And really, folks, I think it's our natural state. Giving is our natural state. We naturally want to give and we want to help people around us. I've often found that, folks, that the only thing that prevents us from helping those around us is that we perceive that if we do so, we may be left in a state of shortage. So it's perceived scarcity that prevents us from giving. And this whole system is designed to promote scarcity. Scarcity is the glue that holds the whole system of commerce together. Without scarcity, there would be no need for commerce. And so there's a clue right there. But really, folks, it's fiction, and it's based on fear. See, we don't give because we believe that if we do give, we will be left in a state of shortage down the line, because we don't have faith in those around us to give to us when we're in a state of hardship. And very often such fears are quite well placed, because very often people will not give because they in turn perceive that if they were to give, they in turn would be in a state of shortage further down the track. But you see, folks, that's where it defeats itself, because if everybody did it, then there would be no shortage. That's the thing. If everybody gave a little bit more than they received, then there couldn't possibly be any shortage. There could only be abundance. In fact, people would soon learn that the more they gave, then the more abundant society was, the more abundant everybody was, and the more people were kept free from ever being in a state of hardship. You'd find that crime would become a thing of the past, and hardship would be eliminated simply by people giving more than they received. And imagine, folks, if everybody around you is giving more than they receive, then you would end up receiving more than you could possibly give, even though you were attempting to give more than you received. So you see, it would create a snowball effect whereby the entire world couldn't help but be in a state of abundance. If people could simply overcome this hurdle that they have, the fear that they have of giving. And this fear is based on a state of perceived scarcity, which has been superimposed over human consciousness, because scarcity is not the natural state of mankind. Scarcity can only be achieved via fear and via a controlled concept that is superimposed over their minds, because our natural state is a state of abundance, especially since we are naturally giving and caring creatures. And so you see, this is one of the main goals of the commercial system, folks, is to disconnect you from your natural state of abundance, to disconnect you from your natural tendency to be a giving, caring person, and to place you into an artificial state of scarcity, which is completely contrived and which is cleverly designed to place people into a position where they must either exploit the planet or exploit the people around them in order to alleviate this state of scarcity. But it's contrived, folks. It's just been superimposed over the human experience. It's not your natural state, and it's one of the main tools that is used to ensure that mankind stays in its current state of division. Divide and conquer, folks, that's what it's all about, and this division is very much maintained through this superimposed state of scarcity, because it keeps people on the treadmill, it keeps people always competing with each other, and it keeps people measuring each other by their social standing and by the amount of possessions they've managed to accumulate. Essentially, it disconnects you from the reality and the art of your life and places you within a commercial model and gives you commercial parameters with which to measure yourself and with which to measure those around you by. But it's all fiction, folks, and I don't think that we need such a commercial system at all. But look, I think it's break time here, folks. I'm going to have to leave it there for now, and we'll go and have a break. Thank you for joining me on the air today. It's a pleasure to have your company, as it always is, and I will speak to you again in a few minutes. Thanks for listening. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Well, folks, to say the problems that we face in the world today are enormous would probably be an understatement of massive proportions. Of course, this is probably no shock to many of the listeners of this show. Many people who listen to this show are aware that we have some severe problems in the world, but I'm not sure if people have really noticed how much they seem to be escalating these days. The recent reports coming in regarding Fukushima, for example, are extremely disturbing reports, not to mention the actions of our governments all around the world, which are, of course, extremely disturbing actions, which is what we expect from governments, folks, because these institutions are populated by extremely disturbing individuals, or extremely disturbed individuals, or perhaps they could quite comfortably be put into both of those categories, because they are both disturbed and somewhat disturbing. But folks, look, we've got some really severe issues going on here. Coal seam gas mining, the fracking, the destruction of the water table, Fukushima. We've got so much stuff going on here that hopefully by now it's becoming apparent to people that there is no remedy from any government source anywhere in the world to any of the problems that we face. In fact, it was governments around the world who actually created all of these problems. Whether it was corporations or whatever who created them, folks, they were able to do so because of legislation that was drafted by government to begin with anyway. So it is on governments that we need to maintain our focus, because that is where we're going to find remedy. But we're not going to find remedy from the government itself. We're only going to find remedy from the people once the people realize the power that they have to actually hold governments accountable for their actions. But again, folks, this will only happen once people discover themselves. That's the thing. Any action against this system, any action that's going to work, that's going to bring about positive change, has to be action implemented by the people themselves. You're not going to get any remedy from government. There's no point voting people in or voting people out. There's no point looking for any type of remedy from the people who created the problem. You see, that's the thing, folks, and this is what I keep coming back to. It's got to be the power of community. You've got to have united communities, which is why you have to start putting down the stuff you have with other people and start respecting the people around you and respecting yourself. And I know it's difficult, folks. It's difficult in all quarters. It's even difficult for me, and I know all this. I have people attacking me online, left, right, and center, folks. There are so many people out there attempting to create as much division in the alternative research community as possible. People who believe that because the Illuminati once said that we will control every movement that rises against us, that they should not join any movement that's rising against them because they believe that it will be controlled by the government. So the government's programmed them not to fight back. Simply by making that statement, people believe it. But think about it, folks. How could they possibly control every movement that's going to rise against them? Do they control you? Do they control me? No, of course they don't. But simply by saying that they will control every movement that rises against them, people just suddenly think that they will, that they have the ability to do so, and so they give up before they've started. And it's a program, folks. People are simply running a program. And that is a programmed response, and it is exactly the response that the powers that believe they be would like people to have. But it's important that people realize that they are not powerless, folks. We actually have the power to bring about change. We just have to realize the potential of ourselves and not go down the parameters that are constructed by the system and given to us to operate under, because those parameters don't work. Well, they do work to a certain degree. It's just that they work to tie us up in red tape, which is exactly what they've been constructed to do. People discover that there's a problem and they start petitioning government. They start acting within the parameters the government gives them to complain about the actions of government, but they fail to step above it. And they fail to really have drawn their line in the sand. And that's what we need, folks. Mankind as a whole needs to do this, folks. As a species, we need to draw our line in the sand, because things are getting pretty desperate, and we're obviously not going to find a remedy until we decide individually to take the matter in hand. This is a personal thing, folks, and it has to be done by every person, every individual on the planet. And really, it is a matter of people drawing their line in the sand, folks. I mean, what are you prepared to take? How far are you prepared to go? Look at the situation of coal seam gas mining, folks. We've got the government here destroying the water table. We know that it's polluting the groundwater. We know that it's poisoning everything in our environment around us. And yet we let them do it because we believe we have to, because they wrote some rules down on a piece of paper. I mean, really. That's what it comes down to. And it's the same with our health. We may be dying of cancer. We are forced to take an incredibly toxic treatment called chemotherapy, which kills all life in our body, not just cancer. And this is mandatory, imposed upon us by governments. And yet we've got hemp oil there, which we could take, which would cure our cancer. But we don't take it because we believe we're not allowed to, because some politician wrote some rules on a piece of paper. Folks, this is insanity. So when are we going to draw the line in the sand? When are you going to say, look, I'm dying here, and you're telling me that I am not able to cure myself because you wrote some rules down on a piece of paper that said that I can't do that, and you have the audacity to tell me that I actually have to abide by these rules? You have the nerve to say that this is law. Are you insane? Because they are, folks. They're completely insane. And I believe that people who go along with these rules because they believe them to be law are also suffering a form of insanity. You don't have to do what it says on pieces of paper simply because some sociopath wrote it down. You know, you have a moral obligation to do what's right. And you have an obligation to yourself to do what is intelligent, to do what your body says it needs. And if your body needs healing, then you should be able to heal that. And you should just heal that. You should do whatever it takes to heal yourself, regardless of what type of legislation has been written on what piece of paper by what public trustee. Because ultimately, that's all it is, folks. It's just rules written on paper by public trustees. And we let these rules control every aspect of our lives, and it's about time we woke up to reality. Now, folks, I've been coming onto the air here and talking to you for almost 6 years in a calm and rational manner. Well, I've tried to remain calm and rational. Perhaps I've been too calm and too rational. But what I've been attempting to do, folks, is at least come on here and speak in a manner that hopefully people can identify with and alert them to the fact that we have some serious issues in the world that do very much need addressing. I've attempted to point out to people the quite obvious fact that our governments simply cannot be trusted, that no politicians can be trusted, that the world is very different to what people believe it to be, and that there is a method that we can use to actually step above the system in order to rein the ship of state in and put it back in the proper direction that it should be going, and something that's going to benefit mankind, something that's going to be beneficial for all life on the planet, not simply something that is going to be a temporary economic fix for one particular country, which is what we seem to be focused on. A lot of people in the United States seem to be very focused on such things. A lot of people in the United States seem to be very Americentric in the way they think. They only really think about what is going to be good for the United States. Of course, they call it America, but really, America includes the United States and Canada and all the countries in South America and Central America as well. That is America. And that's an interesting little piece of brain fog there that people seem to have as well. When they talk about being American, they usually are referring to people who come from the United States of America, when really the reality is that someone who comes from Venezuela or Brazil or Costa Rica or Peru is also an American just as much as someone who comes from the United States, because the United States of America is simply one country within the boundaries of America, which, as I said, includes all of the North American continent and all of Central America and all of the South American continent. But I'm probably getting a little bit off topic there, folks, as I often tend to do. But what I'm attempting to say here is that for the last 5 or 6 years, I've been coming onto this show here and I've been attempting to maybe shift people's perspective a little bit more to a global perspective, help people within the United States to think not so Americentrically, to realize that it isn't just about America. There is no good looking for a fix for the United States if it isn't going to fix the rest of the world as well. And attempting to help people see that the problems that we face really are global problems. The United States is quite literally one arm of a global empire, a global state which is puppeteered by global interests. And all governments on the planet serve this same global interest. And I've been working to help people understand this and to help people see their own power. As I said, I've been coming on here and I've been talking calmly and rationally for 5 or 6 years, just trying to motivate people into action. I hope that I haven't been talking too calmly, because it would not pay to be too calm or complacent about the situation that we're facing, because it just seems to be getting worse, folks. And it's happening in all countries. It's certainly happening here in Australia. By the way, folks, we've got an election here coming up in Australia next month, I think it is. And there's going to be a lot of people who go to this election, people who don't really want to vote, who will just go there just to get their name crossed off the book so that they don't have to pay the fine. But folks, what I'm suggesting this year is that if you really don't want to vote, and if you're really not happy with the situation that we've got in this country, but you are on the electoral roll and you will get fined if you don't vote, then what you need to do is go to the voting booth, take a pen with you or a black texter colour, something that can't be rubbed out. And when you pick up the voting form, what you need to do is you need to put a line through every candidate's name, cross each one of them out so that they're off the form, and then write on the bottom of the form, "There are no suitable candidates." Because if enough people do that, folks, then they will have to cancel the election and none of the candidates that are running will be able to run again. So it will mean a major reshuffling of the entire political system in this country. That is the way that everybody should vote this year, folks. Cross off the names of the candidates and write on the form, "There are no suitable candidates." And I urge everybody who goes to vote this year to please do that with your voting form. Perhaps it will send some sort of a message to these people. Because let's face it, folks, there certainly are not any suitable candidates. And it's the same on a global scale, folks. There just aren't any suitable candidates anywhere in the world. There aren't any suitable politicians, which is why there are no suitable governments. And this can be easily confirmed, folks, simply by appraising governments by their actions. And it's true, folks. I mean, really, you've just got to look at it. I mean, governments do many things. And with everything that they do, they invariably tell us that what they are doing is for our benefit. They've come up with a good idea and they've figured out a better way that is going to make it all better for us. They tell us that that is their sole purpose, that is the meaning of their existence, is to improve things for us. After all, that is why we elect these individuals, and that is what we employ them to do. We employ them to manage our infrastructure for us, to make sure that we have a smoothly functioning society and a viable future. We expect these governments to keep us safe and to keep us informed of what is going on with our country, with our society, with the world at large, and to generally be good, responsible parents for us. And governments invariably tell us that this is exactly what they do. And yet, when you look at the world at large, you look at the world of modern times, what you find is that people are struggling. People are in a state of incredible hardship at the moment, right around the planet, not just in our Western societies. And indeed, there's many people in Western societies that are probably doing quite okay. They're deeply immersed in the world of commerce, and they're doing quite fine. Of course, they're usually doing so at the expense of other people within the community who aren't doing so fine. But generally speaking, when you look at our world today, folks, most of the population is in a state of shortage and in a state of hardship, and we've got a massive amount of conflict all around the planet. So governments are not doing their job. They are not doing what the people want. They are not managing our infrastructure for us in a very responsible manner. And if you look at things on a global scale, you realize that there is something far more insidious going on, and that what our governments are doing is, in fact, the direct opposite of what we all expect them to do. Because when one takes the rose-colored glasses off and really looks at the actions of those managing our infrastructure for us, folks, it becomes glaringly apparent that the real truth of the matter is that government is not and has never acted in the best interests of the populace. Government's only interest, really, is in control of the populace. The government has done this via control of virtually every aspect of our lives, and most especially through control of the education system, because through controlling the education system, they've been able to stifle free and independent thought. Through control of the education system, they've been able to train people to work always towards improving the mechanism of the system. That's what success is. Success is making your company more efficient, more streamlined, improving the bottom line, maximizing profits. That's always been the role of government, folks, to make the system more strong and to make humankind more expendable. And that's what governments do, folks, because really the sole purpose of government in the world today, of all government in the world today, is to limit human potential and to lock the human race down into a control grid whereby the entire human experience will become homogenized. It will not be acceptable to even think outside of the box, let alone act independently. And all individual creative input into personal human experience will be either removed or tightly controlled. That is the purpose of government, and that is the purpose of every government on this planet. And every government on this planet actually works in unison. They all work in collusion in order to bring such a future about. So there's no point trusting any government in any country, folks. There's no point looking for remedy from government. There's no point petitioning government. There's no point approaching government in any way, shape or form and expecting anything positive to come from it, because doing positive things is simply not the function of government. You see, we have a corporate system here, folks. It's a corporate system that was put in place by the Vatican, and it's been that way for many hundreds of years. It actually has been that way for thousands of years, really, but it's been more consolidated in the last few hundred years. And they've managed to refine things and make it far stronger and far more effective. And so there's no point approaching government and expecting any type of positive change to come from it, because what you're dealing with is a corporate system. And that is precisely why the only remedy that will be found will be when people decide to step above it, because we're not corporations, folks. We're not commercial entities. We don't have to have every aspect of our lives reduced to commerce the way we currently do. And it's when we realize this that we're going to be able to implement effective change, but we're only going to do that if we've got the strength of numbers. And that's why I keep coming back to community. That's why it's so important for people to break down the barriers that they have with other people. You know, because all these barriers are constructs, folks. They're all programs. People are programmed to have differences with other people. They're programmed to see everybody around them as an enemy. There's certainly a lot of this in the alternative research community as well, folks. And I've searched all through the alternative research community to try to find people that want to unite, people that want to put down their differences and create some sort of united global front against this system. And I tell you, folks, it's been very, very difficult to do. Almost everybody that I've found in the alternative research community seems to have their own agenda. They're either trying to sell you their products or get you to buy into their business or buy into their commune, or they're attempting to be a guru and they want followers. Many people just want to stand there and shake their fist at the world but aren't actually prepared to do anything positive or act in a positive way to bring about any real change. And there's just so many things and so many forces out there that are working to prevent any type of unity from ever happening that it can become quite disconcerting. And I've looked down all the avenues that I could find, folks. I really have. I've looked at movements that people are starting. And ultimately, there is no movement that could be joined. A movement could be a great thing to rally people around a flag, but ultimately, it's got to be a personal thing. It's got to be an individual thing. It's got to be each person changing their heart space, because without that, then there won't ever be any effective change. And when people do change their heart space and when they really do begin to see themselves for what they truly are, then they don't need a movement. They don't need to join any type of organization because they know it's a personal thing. There can be no leaders to this movement. There can be no leaders to any global revolution. It's got to be a revolution that is contained within the hearts of each person on the planet. And that's the most difficult thing about it. There are many people who have this spark of revolution in their hearts. There's many people who have a longing to be free. There's many people who are determined not to take a backward step against the system. But there's very few who are not too scared to stand up. There are many people who are waiting for someone else to stand up so that they can rally behind them, but they're not prepared to stand on their own. And this is quite understandable, folks, because we are facing a huge leviathan. And ultimately, folks, I don't think the revolution that is coming will be one whereby we see a lot of people standing in solidarity on the streets. I think it will be one in which we find people standing in solidarity on their own, standing in solidarity in their own homes, simply standing in defiance against a corrupt system which no longer serves them. Because that's what we have, folks. We have a system that no longer serves us in any of its aspects. And I think the revolution that is coming is a quiet revolution that is brewing within the hearts of the people. And I think the time is getting close when we are going to see it spill over. And we're going to see people standing up and simply saying, no, we won't do this anymore. Enough is enough. And I really do look forward to such a time, folks. But I think it is going to happen. I still do have an enormous amount of faith in the human race, even though I've failed to find much unity from the alternative research community in the quests that I've made to create some. I still do have an enormous amount of faith in my fellow man. I think we can get through this, and I think we will get through it. Hopefully I'll be able to make a difference later on this year when I begin to launch some of the first stages of the Full Circle Project. And that's my plan for later on in the year. Anyway, folks, I've got a lot of stuff I plan to do this year, if I can get the financial backing to do it, of course. That's always a bit of an issue, especially these days. Things are very tight these days, as I'm sure they are for most people. Everybody that I know seems to be going through financial difficulties at the moment, folks. That's just the way 2013 has been. It's been an interesting year, actually, 2013. There's certainly been a lot of trials and tribulations in my life, and I've seen a lot of changes. I've seen a lot of people and a lot of things reveal themselves in this year as well, which has been very interesting. Certain forces that were ensconced around me, certain forces that I believed to be trustworthy, have revealed themselves to be otherwise. Certain things that I allow to come in and influence my life, and it's just interesting the way these things do all come about, folks. And it's interesting the way things do reveal themselves. And it's been a huge learning curve to receive some of the lessons that each year has given me so far. And there certainly have been quite a few. So we are almost at the end of the show here again, folks. Thank you very much for joining me on the air today. Thank you to anybody who has ever sent me a kind email. Thank you to anybody who has ever made a contribution to the website. Folks, I'm looking at launching the Full Circle Project at the end of this year. I want to start by focusing on Palestine and by focusing on the loss of shamanistic traditions in South America. I intend to travel to Palestine later in the year, either in October or in December. And I'm going to need public support to help make this happen. If you're somebody out there who would like to see this, and would like to see me make a documentary about Palestine, which is what I intend to do, then please do make a contribution to the website. Just put Full Circle Project as the reason for the contribution, and that will be channeled straight towards the trip to Palestine, folks. So if you can help me do this, it would be very much appreciated, as that is the only way that I'm actually going to be able to make it happen. I certainly cannot afford to do it just on my own. So if you've ever wanted to contribute, folks, now is a good time to do so, and it will be going towards a worthy cause. Also, if you are someone out there who would like to be involved in the People's Voice with me, if you're an artist or a graphic artist or a graphic designer or an animator who has anything you would like to contribute, please do not hesitate to contact me. What I'm looking at the moment is basically just doing the type of show that I'm already doing with Surviving the Matrix and simply switching over to David Icke's network, because it then has the potential to reach far more people. I will probably continue to send a podcast to the American Voice radio station as well, so I can continue to air the show on the American Voice, plus on YouTube, plus on David Icke's new People's Voice network. So that's basically what I'm looking at the moment, folks. And if you're someone who would like to be involved, please do not hesitate to contact me, because I am going to need a massive amount of artwork and graphic input in order to continue doing what I'm currently doing. So if you feel like you are someone who can help me with that need, folks, then please, by all means, contact me. And of course, I will give you credit for your artwork on the show, and that may generate a little bit of traffic towards your website as well. But that is it for me, folks. I'll have to leave it there for now. Thank you for joining me on the air today, and I'll look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take good care until then. In La Cache.